Father, thank you for bringing us here today. Please be with those in attendance. Please be with our residents. Please be with those that are ill. Please be with the Nava family. In your name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Please be seated. The city of Kirby is dedicated to delivering excellent municipal services to our entire community in a fiscally responsible manner. Will our city secretary please call me?
Councilmember Pierce?
Here.
Councilmember Grant? Councilmember Wilson?
Here.
Councilmember Aldrich?
Here.
Councilmember Apodaca?
Here.
Mayor Pro Tem Layman?
Here.
Mayor Pierce?
Here. And I will please remind everybody to be mindful of speaking clearly and directly into our microphones so that we can try to get an audible presentation for after the meeting. Right. Item 5, citizens' participation. Mr. Sid Sanders, regarding Ackerman bike lanes.
I'm Sid Sanders. Thank you for allowing me to speak. Lately, well, I've noticed it for a while, people using the shoulder to go down Ackerman. And I know there are plans to eventually repave Ackerman as soon as we can get all that done. In the meantime, my concern is for the safety of the people, pedestrian and bicyclists, going down Ackerman. Now, whenever they put in bike lanes, they put in the paint. I don't know about any signs, but I know that I see on other streets the painted symbols. Is it feasible for Kirby to put those symbols, paint those symbols down the shoulder on Ackerman to just clue people in that that is not for their use unless they're parking or some emergency? I just wanted to bring this to the council's attention, my concern for the safety of the people on the side, because there's no sidewalk there as of yet. There will be, that's part of the plans for redoing Ackerman, but until then. So I just wondered if we could get those symbols painted. Thank you.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you, Sid.
Monique, would you mind just getting with Public Works and Chief of Police and maybe looking into that? Thank you. All right, item number 6, the consent agenda. I will entertain a motion.
Mayor, I move that we approve the quarterly financial report for period ending December 31st, 2017. Do all of them?
Yes.
And approval of quarterly investment report for period ending December 31st, 2017. And approval of the Bexar County Elections Contract for Election Services for the May 15th, 2018 general special election to include early voting. Make it.
Second.
All right, we have a motion by Councilmember Wilson, seconded by Councilmember Pierce, to accept the consent agenda. Is there any further discussion? Will our city secretary please call roll?
Councilmember Wilson?
Yes.
Councilmember Aldrich?
Yes.
Councilmember Apodaca?
Yes.
Mayor Pro Tem Layman?
Yes.
Councilmember Pierce?
Yes.
Mayor Pierce.
Yes. Item 7, consideration of the regular meeting minutes of March 8th. I will entertain a motion.
Mayor, I'll make a motion. We accept the minutes March 8th, 2018.
Second. We have a motion by Mayor Pro Tem Layman, seconded by Councilmember Wilson, to accept the regular meeting minutes of March 8th, 2018. Is there any further discussion? All in favor, please raise your right hand. Those pass. Item 8, presentation, our Kirby Senior Center 25th anniversary. We have Ms. Norma Hamby, who will be speaking regarding the April 6th meeting.
Good evening. The Kirby Senior Center is celebrating their 25th anniversary. That event will take place April 6th
And just so everybody knows, we should have a flyer. There is a $15 raffle ticket for a schnitzel plate. Sorry, a $15 schnitzel plate, including one raffle ticket. The plate comes with red cabbage and fried potatoes, or you can just get a raffle ticket for $10. And those tickets are at the Senior Center. Correct. All right. Thank you. All right, so everybody mark your calendars, April 6th. All right, item 9, public hearing on a variance to the zoning ordinance section 153.072 to allow pavement encroachment in the right-of-way and a 5-foot setback for the purposes of allowing large trucks and tankers to enter and exit the site along Gibbs Sprawl, a variance to the zoning ordinance section 153.072 to allow a 5-foot increase to the maximum driveway to allow for a 35-foot drive onto FM 78, and a variance to the building regulation section 150.16 to waive the requirement of the installation of an automatic sprinkler system for a building over 500 square feet, and section 150.16 D B7 to waive the requirement of the installation of an automatic sprinkler system for a fuel canopy exceeding 5,000 square feet located at lot 23 of Brame and Wiles subdivision, a 2.029 acre tract of land situated in the city of Kirby, Texas, commonly known as 5565 FM 78 5601 Gibbs Sprawl, Kirby, Texas. At this time, I will close the regular meeting and open the public hearing at 7:08. Is there anybody in our audience who wishes to speak on this, regarding this? Okay, I will move to 9B of the public hearing on a variance to the 2015 International Building Code, section 1010.11, for the installation of 48-inch double doors in lieu of the required minimum 32-foot leaf located at CB 5865, Lot 23, otherwise known as 5565 FM 78, 5601 Gibbs Sprawl, City of Kirby, Bexar County, Texas. Is there anybody in the audience who wishes to speak on this item? All right, I will close the public hearing and open the regular session back up at 7:09. Item 10A, discussion and possible action on a variance request for a variance to the zoning ordinance section 153.072 to allow pavement encroachment in the right-of-way and a 5-foot setback for the purposes of allowing large trucks and tankers to enter and exit the site along Gibbs Sprawl, a variance to the zoning ordinance section 153.072 to allow a 5-foot increase to the maximum driveway to allow for a 35-foot drive onto FM 78, and a variance to the building regulation section 150.16 to waive the requirement of the installation of an automatic sprinkler system for a building over 500 square feet, and section 150.16 to waive the requirement of the installation of an automatic sprinkler system for a fuel canopy exceeding 5,000 square feet located at lot 23 of Brame and Wiles subdivision, a 2.029 acre tract of land situated in the city of Kirby, Texas, commonly known as 5565 FM 78 and 5601 Gibbs Sprawl, Kirby, Texas. Actually, if you can just explain the overview of this. I know that PNZ, Graham was at PNZ regarding this item, but if you would like just to brief the council.
My name is Mike Wooden, Quickly Corporation here in San Antonio. Our office address is 227-614 in San Antonio. Tonight we're just requesting for your approval of the 5 variances, and I can just go one by one if that's all right.
Yes, sir, please.
The fire sprinkler system. I understand Jamie Dudley is our senior project manager, and he could not be here tonight, so I'll try my best to answer these questions. But our construction type is a non-combustible material. It is a 2D construction, and this was reviewed with the fire chief. My understanding he approved our use in the form that he requests that be approved by council. The fire alarm also reviewed with the fire chief
I do know that TxDOT had approved the encroachment piece of it, the variance that they're asking for those. So they did have the blessing from TxDOT as well, according to the information received at P&Z. So that all of that has been taken care of on TxDOT side.
I make a motion we allow the variance and waiver for the zoning ordinance for section 153.072 and section 150.156.
Second.
Okay, we have a motion by Councilmember Pierce, seconded by Mayor Pro Tem Lehman to accept the variance requested. Is there any further discussion? Will our city secretary please call roll?
Councilmember Pierce?
Yes.
Councilmember Wilson?
Yes.
Councilmember Aldridge?
Yes.
Councilmember Apodaca?
Yes.
Mayor Pro Tem Lehman?
Yes.
Mayor Pierce?
Yes. Item 10B, discussion and possible action on a variance request submitted by the property owner for a variance to the 2015 International Building Code, section 1010.11, 1010.1.1, for the installation of 48-inch double doors in lieu of the required minimum 32-inch leaf located at CB 5865 Lot 23, otherwise known as 5565 FM 78, 5601 Gibbs Brawl, City of Kirby, Bexar County, Texas. I will entertain a motion for this variance.
Mayor, I make a motion we accept the request for the variance for the property owner.
Second.
For the building code section 1010.1.1 for the double doors.
Second.
I think Debbie had it. We have a motion by Councilmember Pierce, seconded by Councilmember Wilson, to accept action on a variance request submitted by the property owner for a variance to the 2015 International Building Code. Is there any further discussion? Will our city secretary please call roll?
Councilmember Pierce?
Yes.
Councilmember Grant? Excuse me. Councilmember Wilson?
Yes.
Councilmember Aldridge?
Yes.
Councilmember Apodaca?
Yes.
Mayor Pro Tem Lehman?
Yes.
Mayor Pierce?
Yes. Those variances are requested. Thank you. We look forward to you coming into our city. Item 10C, discussion and possible action on 2016-2017 audit report.
Financial reports made up of several items. We have an introduction and an independent
next item is your fund financial statements. Now, this is how you usually, you see your financial statements on a monthly basis from the city staff. The next section is notes to the financial statements. And again, that just tells you, kind of clarifies the numbers for you. Then we have a required supplementary information. That supplementary information has your budget to actual information as well as your pension liability. And then there's two other sections, the supplemental individual financial statements, so you'll see comparative reports, and then the statistical section. Now, if you don't want to read the entire report, the statistical section has 10 years of data, and it's very interesting. We follow the generally accepted auditing standards and also your government auditing standards. We actually are audited ourselves, so since we perform governmental audits, we have to comply with something we call the peer review process, and we go through that every 3 years. The purpose of an audit is to form an opinion on whether the financial statements are presented in accordance with generally accepted accounting principles. I'm happy to say that you received an unmodified opinion. And an unmodified opinion basically means that after adjustments, your financial statements are fairly stated and materially correct. That's the best opinion we can get. The MD&A, I won't go over that in detail. But it, again, gives you financial highlights, basically on a government-wide full accrual analysis, a little fund statement, and a little budgetary. So your assets of the city exceeded its liabilities in the governmental-wide financial statements by $7.1 million at September 30th, 2017. Your net position increased by $581,000 due to an increase in ad valorem and franchise tax collections. Additionally, you had some capital grants and contributions. Your business type activities, which is your waterworks and sewer system, exceeded their liabilities by $5.3 million. They also had unrestricted net position that decreased by $413,000 to $2.4 million as of September 30th, 2017. Your component unit, which is the Senior Citizen Center, it exceeded its liabilities by $117,000, and then you had unrestricted net position that decreased by $11,000 during the year to a deficit of $2,000. Now, you do have another component that's blended within the financial statements, and that's your current visual disability. So this is a picture of your full accrual net position, and you have $5 million invested in governmental activities. Governmental activities are basically everything except your water sewer fund. So this number is your fixed assets minus any debt related to those capital assets. You have money that's restricted for specific purposes, debt, PEG, public safety, and the Kirby Senior Citizen Center. And then you have unrestricted net position. Overall, you have almost $4.3 million in unrestricted net position. On the fund financial statements, again, this is how you normally see the financial statements on a regular basis. It's the modified accrual basis, so you see your current resources. The general fund's fund balance at the end of 2017 was $2.7 million, and the combined balance for all funds was $2.8 million. Unassigned fund balance for the general fund was $2.6 million. I want to point out that this is 7 months of average operating expenditures, and the GFOA recommends 3 to 6 months, so you have a very good unassigned fund balance at the end of the year, and those are available for that money would be available for projects or other items that you wish to spend it on. The general fund decreased by the fund balance from the prior year decreased $7,000. And then the combined actually received $4 million. So you had an unfavorable variance of 2.3, but if you look, the big difference is in grants that came in for the year. The expenditures, I'm going to take you to page 52. You have total expenditures that are, you have total expenditures of $4,190,000 and you budgeted $7,550,000. Again, some of that, most of that was grant projects that you had budgeted that didn't come in. So your favorable variance there was 3.3, almost 3.4 million. If you go down the third line from the bottom, this is your net change in fund balance. You budgeted to have a loss of $1 million. You actually only had a loss of $7,144. So that brought your fund balance at the end of the year to $2,739,164. The next item that I'd like you to look at is your net pension liability and related assets. About 3 years ago, GASB, they passed a GASB that said that you had to report your net pension liability. If you remember, a lot of cities had a lot of debt that they couldn't pay because of the pensions that they owed their employees. So there's a couple important figures here. Your net pension liability at the end of the year is almost $1.5 million. It's about the fourth line up from the bottom, $1,486,215. You're actually covered, so you have assets that cover your pension liability of 81%, 81.2%. This is another place where the GFOA recommends that you have over 70%. So you're in very good shape if you're over 80. TMRS has calculated their actuarial studies, so that should increase for the next 5 or 6 years and get up into the later 80s, early 90s, within 5, 6, 7 years. That's what they really budgeted for, and if their assumptions are correct. The other number I'd like to point out is your net investment income number here. Remember, you're not investing these funds. TMRS is investing these funds on behalf of the city. But in 2014, they had $301,000 in investment earnings. Last year, because they changed their assumptions, they changed their target allocation changed some other assumptions. They dropped to $8,470 of investment earnings. Again, this year in 2016, they're up to almost $400,000. So those changes, although abrupt for last year, increased quite well this year. Any questions on that? That's only showing up on your full accrual basis. It does not show up on your modified accrual basis. We have letters of conduct. We had no accounting policy changes, accounting estimates. You have your ad valorem, your depreciation that we consider estimates, and then your pension liability calculation. We had no difficulties performing the audit. You do have one unadjusted misstatement. We chose not to adjust it because it was immaterial to the financial statements in the amount of $40,737. It was insurance proceeds that were received in fiscal year 2016 that they were recognized in fiscal year 2017. So the actual loss was in 2016 versus 2017 in the year you received. We had
I don't. Thank you very much. I do want to do, though, to explain how long that our staff is involved in these, you know, that this is an ongoing and tedious procedure, and so.
Tedious.
The whole city just shuts down when you're here. You're not invasive. We just shut down.
But I do want to not only thank you, but I do want to thank our staff for the preparation and the time involved in supplying the information, and for you to be able to present us what I believe is such a favorable report to the city. It shows volumes of what our staff is capable of. So thank you to our staff for that information. Thank you to you.
It's not only the week we're here, they work all year long.
Well, yes.
To make sure that the information is correct, but yes.
Anybody else? No.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. All right, item 10D, discussion and possible action on an Eagle Scout project at Friendship Park for Alejandro Salos Rios, Boy Scouts of America, Troop 1412. I will ask that we table this item until April 12th.
Mayor, I make a motion to table this agenda item till April the 12th.
Second.
We have a motion by Councilmember Altridge, seconded by Councilmember Pierce, to table this item. Any discussion? Laura City Secretary, please call roll.
Councilmember Altridge?
Yes.
Councilmember Abinaca?
Yes.
Mayor Pro Tem Lehman?
Yes.
Councilmember Pierce?
Yes.
Councilmember Wilson?
Yes.
Mayor Pierce?
Yes. All right, we will see him back on April 12th. Item 10E, discussion and possible action, ordinance number O-2018-831, repealing article 4, construction in public rights of way of Chapter 96, Streets and Sidewalks of the Code of Ordinances, and adopting new Article 4 of Chapter 96, Streets and Sidewalks of the Code of Ordinances. This is the first reading. Would you like to give us a background on that?
Mayor, well, I was just going to ask if you could explain to, I guess, me, anyway, what this is about.
Revisions to it, and it's for construction in the public right-of-way. So our public works director looked over it and made some recommended changes, and some of the main things were making sure that if an outside contractor comes in to do work in the city, that they leave the road conditions as good as they were, if not better. There was also some changes to some of the fee structure, and then also in our previous ordinance, he didn't have a clause to talk about who's responsible for inspecting those things or enforcing them if they're in violation. So that's now included in there. And so the public works director has designated that responsibility.
Okay.
And it also put in there if that they have to have it done within a certain time frame. And if not, there's a little bit of leeway, but if they let it lapse, they literally have to come back and get another permit to do that job. So that it keeps them in line with the time frame, so that they're not continually constructing. All right.
Comfortable with it?
Yes, we are.
Comfortable with it?
Yes, sir.
City attorney.
Food okay?
He's comfortable.
I will entertain a motion.
Mayor, I'd like to make a motion to accept, let's see. to accept the ordinance 02018-13, repealing Article 4, construction of public right-of-way of Chapter 96, streets and sidewalks of the Code of Ordinance, and adopting the new Article 4 of Chapter 96, streets and sidewalks of the Code of Ordinance. I was going to read the first reading.
I'll second it.
We have a motion by Councilmember Altred, seconded by Mayor Pro Tem Lehman, to accept ordinance number 0-2018-831. Is there any further discussion? Will our city secretary please call roll?
Councilmember Aldridge?
Yes.
Councilmember Apodaca?
Yes.
Mayor Pro Tem Lehman?
Yes.
Councilmember Pierce?
Yes.
Councilmember Wilson?
Yes.
Mayor
yes. Right, ordinance number 0-2018-831 passes for the first reading. Item 10F, discussion and possible action on resolution number R-2018-700, authorizing submission of the grant application for the National Incident-Based Management System to the Office of the Governor. Please, we will have our police chief, Kevin Boyce.
Thank you, Madam Mayor, council members. What I'm coming before you this evening is ask for your support in the form of a resolution to support an application by the police department to the governor's office for a grant. Specifically, the grant we're looking after is to purchase software for the National Incident-Based Reporting System, or NIBRS. As you're all aware, monthly we are required to submit reports to DPS, who in turn submits reports to the FBI. The FBI takes our crime numbers, puts it together with every other police department in the country, and that's where they come up with national crime indexes and what we call uniform crime reporting. For years, we have always tallied numbers by hand, submitted them to our local DPS representative, and they take it from there. However, the federal government is now mandating that we move to a specific type of software. This is going to be an unfunded mandate. However, there are a lot of grant opportunities. This particular grant comes from our current software vendor, and they are willing to do most of the work on it, providing, of course, we purchase the software from them, which we have no problem with. We've got a good relationship with this current vendor. We are moving forward on that. We are working, myself, Devon, and Nathan, have been working to get everything ready for submission. One of the key items that we need is a resolution from the council approving us to proceed with it. The amount of the grant is $7,500, and that is more or less a menu item dictated through the federal government. No matter what vendor you use or what state you purchase it in, it's going to be $7,500. We will have until January 1st, 2019 to get the software installed, get it up and running, and get start using it as our platform for our numbers. So that is the nuts and bolts of why we need the grant. Our other only other alternative, and I really don't want to do this, is to come back before council as we start workshops for our next budget and ask for the council to fund the money. These grants are out there, they're very specific. It's not a guarantee that we will get it, but it's very, very good.
Does anybody have any questions for our chief? All right, I will entertain a motion.
Mayor, I make a motion. We authorize the police department to make an application for this grant, R2018-700.
Second.
We have a motion by Mayor Pro Tem Lehman, seconded by Councilmember Aldridge, to accept resolution number R-2018-700. Is there any further discussion? Will our city secretary please call roll?
Mayor Pro Tem Lehman?
Yes.
Councilmember
Councilmember Pierce?
Yes.
Councilmember Wilson?
Yes.
Councilmember Aldridge?
Yes.
Councilmember Apodaca?
Yes.
Mayor Pierce?
Yes. Good luck, Chief.
Thank you, ma'am.
Okay, item 10G, discussion and possible action on plans for city-owned property on Gaty Lane and Benzingelman Road. This was asked for by Councilmember Apodaca and also Councilmember Grant. If Councilmember Apodaca was on the Gaty and Councilmember Grant was on Benzingelman, so I'd like to see if we can talk about the Gaty and then bring back the Benzingelman on our next agenda. So Councilmember Grant can be in attendance for that.
So just an update on Gaty property. We were pursuing putting an RV storage lot at the property owned by the city on Gaty, and we had some lighting installed through CPS Energy. We also had some electrical work conducted so that we could have a motorized fence. And of course, on November 9th, we decided to discontinue that project. So currently, right now, we are utilizing Gaty to store some of our own materials and supplies that Public Works has. We do have to pay the monthly bill on the lighting, which has already been installed. And we are considering now taking the motorized compartment of the fence and moving that to the current Public Works yard, because we've already paid for the materials and we think that would be more feasible for them to get their equipment and trucks in and out. So we will pursue that. We're trying to see if we have enough funding to do it. There's also some other property in the area that is privately owned that we're kind of looking at right now to see if we'd be willing to maybe sell that property to the city so that we can expand what we own and look at maybe some future development there.
Okay. And the Planning and Zoning Committee is also working on a comprehension plan, which should come to the council soon. In that comprehension plan, and there's also expectations that we would be getting a new city hall and different other facilities that to keep up with the growth of the city, basically. And so one of the items on that comprehension plan is a city hall. And so it was looked at before with that Gaty property, since the city doesn't have very much property at all, if it would be feasible to develop it for a city use, or if it would be feasible to develop it for other use that would bring money into the city. The Gaty also, when we talked about it in November, was the residents in that area. There was an increase in criminal activity in that area, and also there was people coming in and out. So it was their concern that if the recreational area was built, that it would be harder because people would get in there and they wouldn't be able to see as well. So that comprehension plan will be coming to us. I believe P&Z passed it on, correct? Okay. And that will be coming to us soon for that as well.
Okay.
And the lighting, as far as the CPS lighting, are all of them operational on all of those areas?
I talked to them about one light that was out, and so they did issue a ticket for that. I don't know if they repaired it as
of yet. Right, because that's the one that's closest to the house, correct? Okay.
I think that was repaired.
Was it?
I think it was, yeah.
Okay, we can have night patrol check that out.
Yeah, I hadn't gone by at night, so I wasn't sure. I just knew there was some that y'all were working on. Okay.
Because it had been reported previously, they said they went out and didn't see it out, so we asked them to go back again.
I can kind of see it from my backyard, so okay. It looks like it's...
Did you have, as far as that, did you have a suggestion or did anyone have suggestions on that?
No, I just needed to know what was going on with it so I can pass that on.
And like I said, if we can go ahead and put Benzingelman on our next agenda. Okay. Item 10H. Discussion and possible action on 18-wheelers traveling on Ackerman Road. Mayor Pro Tem Lehman asked this to be on the agenda. I will turn it over to Chief Boyce. Or Jerry, do you want to intro?
And no, let him, okay. Let's go ahead and see what he's probably got more. Excuse me. More information than I have.
Kirby Food Mart taking a delivery of gasoline, they will typically come in on an 18-wheeler type tanker. Food deliveries. Unfortunately, construction equipment moving up and down Wexford, moving in and out of their yard. What we want to concentrate or focus on are those particular vehicles that we catch entering one end of the city and moving through the city without making a stop. I have spoken with the patrolmen and the officers in a recent officers meeting and stressed the need to make sure that we are addressing this type of activity as they catch it. Unfortunately, we do have some hindrance in doing that, that depending on the particular time of day and what day it is, we'll have anywhere from 2 to 4 officers on the street. So we're not always in a position to see the traffic. As an example, if I've got the officers working in disturbance down on Swan Lane and there isn't an officer on Ackerman, it is possible for 1, 2, or several of these vehicles to come up from I-10, you know, on the 78 and then never actually be seen by a police officer. We also do run into little hiccups where, say for instance, I will dispatch, or Corporal Scurlock will be dispatched to a disturbance or some other call for service. And while en route, he'll see the 18-wheeler, know he needs to stop it, but he's already on another assignment, and depending on the severity of that particular call, he may not be able to make the stop. And that kind of puts us in an awkward position. There are 9 out of 10 times we get caught with that one resident. Look, there goes a cop, he didn't even stop that. And it's understandable. They don't realize at that particular time that particular officer is on his way to another call for service that might take priority over through truck traffic. The one thing I do want to assure the council that we are not in a situation where officers are knowingly disregarding that particular ordinance and not making that stop because they don't feel like it. I have no reason to believe that any of the officers participates in any behavior like that. So what can we do moving forward? One thing, again, like I said, I've talked to the officers and stressed that. I have started a dialogue with Ms. Vernon for next budget. I have come across a company that makes a particular type of sign, and you may have seen these along the major thoroughfares throughout San Antonio. They started using them in response to wrong-way drunken drivers. They have a big red sign that says, you know, do not enter the wrong way. They've got red flashing lights, solar operated. I have located a company that can supply us with that, and we can do a custom sign. And what I have tentatively put on a request into the city manager is to experiment with one of those just south of the elementary school on Ackerman Road. My proposal will be they do make a sign particularly that is 30 by 36 inches, no through truck traffic, red flashing lights, and we put it right there. And my thought process on that is probably about 75% of all the drivers that we stop will get 2 excuses out of them. I didn't see the sign, or my GPS told me to come this way. We actually did during I think it was 3 city councils ago, I don't know if you remember, I left, because we had an 18-wheeler supposedly following this GPS all the way down at Creston Wheatland and hit a little But what we want to do is explore the possibility and get some pricing on that one particular sign. And then I have not done this yet, but my plan is to get with Gilbert and look at that particular, right at that entrance, there is a cluster of small street signs. Sometimes it gets a little confusing. You know, our prima facie speed limit in the city of Kirby is 25 unless otherwise posted. 10 foot later, there's a 30-mile-an-hour speed limit sign. So it kind of confuses drivers, and amongst all of that, there's, you know, no through truck traffic, there's a weight limit sign. I want to see if I can't consolidate that into one sign with the flashing lights, which are solar operated, and try that to see if it does curtail northbound traffic on Akron. The other project that we have started with the assistance of our code compliance officer, Megan Thompson, is that we have made contact with TxDOT and asked permission to put up some signs in their right-of-way on Gibbs Sprawl at 78, specifically on the corner, Maley's, and then directly across it, there's a restaurant there that's now currently closed. I think it's the location for the new Wing-It, or Wing-It was thinking about going up there on the corner. A situation that we run into there is when you get an 18-wheeler in the turn lane and they turn south onto Gibbs Sprawl, it's about another 75 to 100 feet before the sign says no through truck traffic. And at that point, there's nothing more that that truck can do but continue on and hope that we're tied up and they don't catch us. So the contact with TxDOT was permission to put the signs, and what I had wanted was two signs facing basically Capital Food Mart on one side and where the new QT is going to go, so that a truck coming from Converse in that left-hand turn lane, as he looks over, he's going to see the two signs, no through truck traffic. And then a truck in front of Maley's in the right-hand turn lane is going to be able to see the two signs right there. So even though they're in a turn only lane, at least they'll have an opportunity to do a last minute, and it's the lesser of two evils. Not supposed to change lanes in the middle of an intersection. Once you're in that turn lane, you're supposed to continue. But at that particular point, as long as they do it safely, I believe it would be preferable to have them continue straight through the intersection rather than make that turn. So that's a problem that we identified into why. And that's the plan. Plus, now I've got dispatching officers specifically checking the number of 18-wheelers that we are stopping and whether or not we are issuing warnings or citations. I do know that a predominant form is a warning, and the thought process behind that amongst the officers I did poll was most of these drivers are interstate, over the road, very few of them are local, and we think it would be kind of wrong for us to assume that they would be aware of every ordinance in every city throughout the state of Texas as to where they can go and where they can't go. That's why an officer is more apt to issue a warning to an out-of-state driver rather than a citation. What we are doing is the warnings are added into our database through our CopSync records management program. And so if I were to stop a driver tomorrow, check his driver's license, if he's already gotten two other warnings, one from Corporal Sherlock, one from Officer Murphy, and one from Officer Fadid, that should be my cue to finally issue this driver a citation. Right. Those are the plans that we have got right now. Short of posting an officer to do nothing more than monitor 18-wheeler traffic moving through the city, that's the only surefire way to catch all of them. But then again, please understand that there are some vehicles. Technically, I believe an empty school bus does also exceed that ordinance, so there's a lot of through school bus traffic through the school district. So there's a lot more traffic out there than we may realize that's occurring, but I think we've got a plan in place. It may take some time to actually see any results. But with the new signs that we know that are coming from TxDOT, and that's something I didn't add, tentatively right now, TxDOT has agreed to erect these signs at no cost to the city. The flashing sign that I would like to try on the south side of Ackerman Road, notice anything but the pole, and I'm going to have to go to Gilbert about actually setting a pole, getting it. And there may very already be a suitable pole in place. We don't know yet. So that's the plan that I've got working forward. However, I would entertain and welcome any thoughts or suggestions or criticisms of that plan or anything more that we think we can do to address this problem.
On Wexford, is there any way that we can mandate that if they come out, that they have to exit left to go towards 10?
I do believe we'd have to look and see if there's a precedent, but I do believe we may be able to adopt an ordinance mandating commercial vehicle traffic go that way to I-10. The correct answer is I don't know, but I do have the resources to check. Without changing the subject too much, we are also looking at doing something. I do remember Councilmember Pierce a couple meetings ago had some concerns with the school zone traffic. So we are trying to address that through an ordinance and making it so that vehicles leaving Bowman and any of the parking lots for the school during school zone hours would have to go south. Turn to the right. So you know, that way, that big problem is in cars waiting to want to cross and turn the opposite direction. I know we can do that ordinance, and I do know it is permissible to make that a mandate to go and travel. I would suspect that we could also do it with the commercial vehicle traffic coming off of Wexford. However, at this point here, that would be an assumption. Although I think it's plausible.
Well, Chief, the sign issue that you brought up, I like that idea. It might be the only thing that we can do for a good while, but if we can get that started now, and hopefully the bond issue will pass and we do what we're hoping to do, and by the time that that is done, maybe we'll have something pretty solid to where we can protect Ackerman Road.
Absolutely.
In the future. So I appreciate everything that you've already done. Just like I said, I had no answers for any of it. It was just the idea that I've been approached by people, well, why is all that 18-wheeler traffic up and down the road? And I've explained too, well, the ordinance says if they're making a delivery in town, they're allowed to come in and go any which way they need to go. But if they're not making a delivery, yes, we need to stop them some way, shape, or form. So I appreciate everything that you've done, and hopefully we can move on down the line with it.
At an appropriate time down the road, I will ask the city manager to put this back on the agenda so I can supply you with an update as we get closer. Right now, I don't have installation dates on TxDOT. And while the representatives that we met with out there have tentatively said this is something that TxDOT can do at no cost, it's not guaranteed at this point. So we still got some work to do. And when I get more information and then we get to an appropriate time, I'll have to put back on the agenda so I can provide y'all with an update.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you, sir.
And I would ask that if anybody does see an 18-wheeler that's going through, to please call dispatch 661-8515 and just let them know that it is there, because our police officers can't be everywhere in the city, so it may be something that they're on the other side of town, but maybe they can make it if they're off a call. But dispatch will know where the officers are, so they may be able to tell the caller right then and there that our officers are elsewhere and can't meet that truck there. But at least we're making recognition of it.
And we are always more than welcome. Myself, particularly to sit down with the in addition to what the mayor have them stop by, knock on the door. I'll be more than happy to sit down and talk and address the concern.
Great, thank you, Chief. Anything else?
That's fine.
All right, item 10I, discussion and possible action on Benzingelman Road Reconstruction Project.
We have Miles Stanley.
Last bit of their disadvantaged business enterprise. It's one of the federal documentation that was lacking in their initial submittals.
So we're expect, or you guys are expecting that information to come from the contractor tomorrow. And then after you get it, then you guys have to submit it again to TxDOT?
Yeah, we review it ourselves with the contract, and we also submit it to TxDOT as part of our requirement to them. And if everything is checked out and perfect and TxDOT's okay with it, then we can issue the notice to proceed. It's just, that's what's been holding us up. We can't issue the notice to proceed until everything is fine.
So, but after it goes to TxDOT, then is that usually a...
That should be...
Turnaround, or is it held up in TxDOT? Because I know that the entity will...
I don't foresee it being held too long. We've been in communication with their DDE coordinator, so he's been more than helpful with me during this process. So I don't think it'll be held up in their court too long at all.
So possibly April, the end of April, maybe starting?
I would say that's reasonable. Just again, assuming there's nothing wrong with this.
In a perfect world, if all the paperwork is correct, then possibly April.
April, May.
And then after that, if it does start in April, then the estimated time of completion is?
365.
A year. Okay. Awesome. Right. Does anybody have any other questions? All right. Thanks, Miles. All right, item 10J, discussion and possible action of the preliminary plat being a total of 15.201 acres of land out of New City Block number 10596 and the J.W. Garrity Survey number 19, abstract number 848, New City Block 10596, County Block 4018, Bexar County, Texas, said 15.201 acres being the same Dolores Hernandez Valverde 15.217 acre tract recorded in volume 17125, page 113, official public records of Bexar County, Texas.
And this evening we have
where's this at?
Owner, Mr. Paul Manette, president, so I'll let him introduce himself.
Good afternoon. Actually, good evening, Mayor and council members and Ms. Byrne. My name is Paul Daniels, and I am the owner and the developer of this property. It's known as Future Springfield Industrial Park. It's the northeast corner of Benz Engelman and Springfield Road. It's part of that new, it's basically the new property that was added to the city of Kirby, I think, last year. I used to be in the city of San Antonio, and then you all did a swap where I became part of the city of Kirby. It's that property that goes from Benzing Open on the south side all the way up to the Taco Factory.
Little Taco Factory.
Okay.
All along the east side of Springfield. We are in the process of developing it into 10 industrial lots ranging anywhere from an acre and a quarter to almost 2 acres. And we're almost done with the construction. The sewer line has been installed at the property. The water line along the front has been installed. All we have to do is do the water connection on the south side and the one on the north side at 78. And we're just trying to get the ball rolling with getting the plat recorded. I have 4 of the 10 lots already pre-sold. I'm actually going to put my business and construction company on lot 10, which is the northern lot right behind the Taco Factory. And I have lots 1, 2, and 3, which is the corner of Benzing Woman, already under contract to a trucking company from, they currently have a yard in Burning on I-10 that they lease. And so they're looking to bring their business and build a new shop there on the property. Looks promising. 4 of the 10 already sold, and it's not even recorded yet. And so we'd like to get the plat recorded so I can pull my building permit. He can pull his building permit, and in the meantime, we'll finish up with the water and get it all done. If you have any questions, I'd be happy to answer.
Anybody have any questions?
The trucking company would face Springfield Road, right?
Well,
right.
He's buying three lots, so the majority of this frontage is going to be Springfield. He's going to have very little on Benzing. His main access, and my understanding is the building is going to be facing Springfield.
Okay, thank you.
So is there any further discussion about the plat?
Well, is he wanting to do the whole thing, or is he just taking a portion of it?
No, this is to do the plat of the entire 15 acres of land.
Yeah, so instead of we're taking one 15-acre property and wanting to subdivide it into 10
industrial. 1 1/4 to 2 acre industrial.
Okay, so that's what he wants to do, is cut, break it up?
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah, I think we've already been before council sometime last year for preliminary approval. Right. Based on that approval, we're building the subdivision and basically finished or almost finished, and we're trying to now kind of finalize the approval and get the paperwork part of it, the recording of the plat.
And he has four lots already sold, plus a couple more that are already being looked at that you can sell for businesses right now.
Yeah, the kind of what's driving this, the gentleman with the trucking company, his lease on that property in Bernie ends in August, and so he would like to be able to buy the property and start building his office so that it's up and running so that he doesn't have to renew, because his landlord doesn't want him to leave. And so he doesn't want to stay and have to release for another 6 months or a year. And I can't sell him his lots because they technically don't exist. So once we get the plat recorded, then I can deed him the property. He can come in the next day with a set of plans and ask for a building permit and start constructing. So
okay, which end of the property is he wanting? The Ben's Engelman side?
Yeah.
Right now, though, right now we're just, this is just a discussion to plat the property. The other stuff will be a discussion at a later date.
Yeah, but I don't have a problem answering any questions. I mean, that's
kind of just, right. It's just not on the agenda, so we can't discuss that, so. Right, is there any further discussion about the platting? Right, I will entertain a motion.
Mayor, I'd like to make a motion to accept the action of the preliminary plat being a total of 15.201 acres of land out of the new city block number 10596 and the J.W. Garrity survey number 19, abstract number 848, new city block 10596, county block 4018 Bexar County, Texas.
We have a motion by Councilmember Altridge.
Second.
We have a second by Councilmember
Wilson
to accept the preliminary plat. Is there any further discussion? Laura City Secretary, please call roll.
Councilmember Altridge?
Yes.
Member Abadaka?
Yes.
Mayor Pro Tem Layman?
Yes.
Councilmember Pierce?
Yes.
Councilmember Wilson?
Yes.
Wait, how many lots has he got, John?
Yes.
I mean, that he's seven.
All right. That plat have been granted.
Thank you. Thank you. One question. Will this go to planning and zoning, or is this the last agenda, and then it's just all on a staff level?
Yeah, this is the last step for the preliminary plat approval, so the final plat can come back on April 12th, okay. Provided we get everything to the city engineer, which I think y'all are working on.
I'll get with my engineer, make sure he turns everything in.
Yeah, and then that night we have the documents to be signed.
Thank you, I appreciate it.
I know. So does this other guy.
If the city needs land for a city hall,
11A, request by Mayor and Council members for items to be placed on future City Council agendas and announcements on city events, community interests. Council Member Apodaca.
No, I don't have anything at this time.
Council Member Wilson.
I do. I think I recalled last council member time I was asking for the orders of incorporation with the senior center. Do you know where that stands? Or
April 12th, normally we'll make a presentation.
And then I'd like to thank the chief for their junior police academy. I was there a couple of days and really enjoyed it. A lot of work went into planning that. And I want to thank you because I know that all the kids that were there enjoyed it. Every time I dropped by, they were just really going. And very, very many complaints this week about trying to call City Hall, and all you get are recordings that nobody ever answers phones when they call. And I would like city staff to look into that because we are a small city, and our saying is, you know, we're just a small city part. So I think that if we cannot answer the phones, then we need to take the recordings off for your employees. The employees have to answer the phones when they ring.
I agree.
Everybody this week, not even since it's been on, they have been complaining that they call and they can't get anybody to answer the phones. And one more is I know that the police took the guy off of McRae to court, but it is so nasty driving down 78 and seeing the trash, and it's just building up higher and higher. It's almost as tall as the apartments are now, and I'd like to know what was happening with all of that. That was it. Oh, and I won't be here April the 12th. I have eye surgery April the 11th. If it could, yeah.
They're called the Briarwood, right?
Yes.
Is it, what did you do?
I think it's
what
they did.
It's nasty. Have you been by it?
They were out there moving stuff
around. Councilmember Wilson, was that all?
That was it.
Okay. Councilmember Aldridge?
I don't have anything, but I do want to say that my condolences are with the Nava family tonight. I think that there should be that something needs to be done in with our community, because within the past month we have had two young people commit suicide in our community, and to me that one is one too many. And I want people and the young people to know nothing can be that bad. I know I don't understand depression, and I know it's something horrible, but nothing in this world could ever be that bad to take your own life. Please reach out and talk to somebody and get some help. And thank you for everybody coming out tonight.
I'd like to have something put on next month's agenda about discussing the Hobo Fest, possibly with the Park and Recreation Committee, see if they would want to pick up that planned community gathering that we had for a number of years, and then just all of a sudden it got all distorted and bad words were said between two different groups. And I just think we need to get back on the ball. Let's see if the Park and the Recreation Committee would possibly want to pick up and head up that portion of the, if they want to sit down with the fire department and do a community project with them, that's up to them. I would just like to have it back on the agenda for us to sit down and talk about it and make a decision. If we agree, then we can approach the Park and Rec and see what they want to do. I mean, it's too late to do anything this year, so we got another whole year, but I think it needs to be taken care of. That's all I got tonight.
Councilmember Pierce?
I have nothing for the agenda. Just thank the city staff, all departments.
Congratulations on the 50th.
That's it. And Leon Nava, heart goes with her and her family.
All right, March 24th, we have the Easter Egg Hunt and Movie in the Park. Rise of the Guardians will be the movie. That starts at 6:30 p.m. Hope to see everybody there. March 30th, the VFW will have their old-fashioned fish fry from 11 to 2. They're asking for an $8 donation. I did get to partake in their last one, and it was very good. April 6th, reminder about the 25th anniversary for the Senior Center. Tickets can be purchased at the Senior Center itself. That is from 11 to 3.
Yeah.
And I wanted to tell our police department congratulations on their 50 years. And Chief, you are doing a great job. Also, I wanted to see this week we had, there was a leak at two streets. And unfortunately, when water was turned off, it turned off several streets that were unbeknownst to us. So maybe if we're doing street repair, if maybe we can just put out a bulletin that, hey, we're in this area and there's a potential that your street will be without water, maybe that would alleviate some of the pieces of, oh my goodness, my water's out. Why didn't I have notice? I mean, we all know that water leaks happen it's not known that something's going to happen like that, but maybe if we say that we're doing repair here and potentially these other streets, maybe that will alleviate some of the shock when people go to turn on their water and it's not there. And again, I do echo the condolences for the Nava family. And we will have, Veronica Herrera is doing the suicide awareness event too. So she'll be coming back to council after she meets with the department heads and gets that game plan going. So that will be in September.
Plainsail Sunday for Joshua.
And then, yes, there is also a benefit on Sunday for Josh Nava's family. So the plate sales will be at the Friendship Park.
$7 a plate.
Yes, $7 a plate. So,
what time?
It is 11 to 5, I believe. 11 to 5.
Or whenever they run out.
Yes. Anything else? Okay. I will adjourn the meeting at 8:21.